Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Thursday edition. We're one day in. Well, if I like this lighting in here, Jesse, do I need to? Is it too yellowy?
Ah, it's mood lighting. You described it as yesterday.
I did describe it as.
It reminds you of your office in the basement. I like it.
Yeah, and lots of stuff in it, just like there is in my office in the basement too. At the humble Wilde abode edition. Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day, but we're running into a few technical glitches, so we're working on getting him on the air edition, but we'll get him. We would not want to miss out on a day with him. And the first day of the Tausch Summer Sabbatical edition. Speaking of first days, the first day of training camp is in the books edition. The 1923 uniforms for the Packers throwbacks edition. And here's what stood out for me from the first day of camp. What interests you the most? We'll ask that question edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Google Android App Store and the Apple App Store. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And somewhere in Florida, we think, our guy Brian Bulaga is going to join us at some juncture. Jesse, I know you're efforting on that, so you're very focused on that. But did you enjoy your visit to Green Bay, Wisconsin yesterday? And did you get your umbrella back, which I ended up not needing?
I did get the umbrella back. I'm glad you didn't need it. So, yeah, I did enjoy the day yesterday. So one of the things I heard yesterday from some of the people who were out and about around practice was that it was a little subdued. It didn't necessarily feel like training camp openers of past years. I don't know if there was a little less excitement. There was some interesting weather. It was super hot and there were thunderstorms going on around the state. Like, was it a little like, I don't want to say underwhelming, but did it feel a little less pomp and circumstance-y than past years to you?
So I just think that that's, and you know, Tausch tells such great stories about his time as a player. I just think that it's just so different from his time playing. And look, this is not new. This has been the way it's been now for quite a while. But I didn't think it was any less exciting than other years, because this is the world we live in, right? Pads aren't popping on day one. No one's ramming into each other at a high rate of speed, which, you know, there's no tackling. All that stuff doesn't occur anymore. And so, to me, it felt like a regular day. Now, I will say this, the loudest cheer that I heard the entire time was from the crowd on the far sideline from where we stand, when Christian Watson, who is on the physically unable to perform list and is not practicing, and from what Goody said, is not going to be practicing perhaps at all during camp and will indeed be starting on the PUP list for the regular season. Everyone went nuts when he went running past. And he was going, probably for him, given how fast he is, a little over half speed. But, oh, it was just a roar of the crowd as he went by. So that was a big deal. And again, he's not practicing. He's out there. He's such a good culture guy. I mean, him and Bo Melton, I just think, are the two guys, even though neither one of them is the most productive wide receiver in the wide receiver room, they feel like the glue guys in there. But that was, in fairness to fans who felt that way, there was not a lot of, as Matt LaFleur called the locker room, sexy, don't you think, things about day one. And there won't be for two today either. Now, knock on wood, you don't want exciting things like apparently happened at the Jets practice today.
Yeah.
As Justin Fields was carted off the field this morning. That's not great, Bob.
Not good.
Or Aaron, Glenn. So we'll see. I mean, Jets are going to jet. It just feels like they are just a cursed franchise. So, you know, you want to get through these 3 days. Nobody gets hurt. People know where they're going. And then you get your day off on Saturday, and Sunday's the first in pads practice. It's the weekend. The crowd should be enormous. It'll probably be hot. But I didn't get that vibe, Jesse, that it was any more muted than it normally is.
Well, that's good. Some of the fans who were there said it just that, I mean, we didn't have the Aaron Rodgers returning, the Jordan Love first time as the starting quarterback. And I don't know, like last year even felt a little more like, all right, let's see what we got coming off a playoff berth and everybody hoping to kind of elevate. It felt different yesterday. That was my general.
Let me ask you this then, because is that because of the way the season ended?
Probably.
Because I'll tell you this, and we'll get into this when we get Brian connected, but I'll say this. The Packers, you know, the Super Bowl phrase, they are not shying away from it. And I don't think they have enough evidence to call themselves Super Bowl contenders. And as both Goody and LaFleur talked about when that subject came up, the reality is that they have a hell of a lot of work to do before they can consider themselves that. But they are embracing those expectations. There's no doubt about that. So, again, we'll have to wait and see how this plays out. But this, for day one, I thought there were a couple of moments. You saw Matthew Golden catch a touchdown pass. I thought Malik Willis had some really good throws. But their offensive line, there's all kinds of stuff going on the offensive line. It's going to be an interesting 5 weeks as we lead into the opener against the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field on September 7th. Sources close to the program tell me that our guy, Brian Bulaga, Iowa, I've got some is here. Brian, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm better now. Better now, running around the house. you know, trying to log into a computer and then it tells you no connection right before the show starts isn't a good feeling. So running around rebooting every antenna in the house isn't a good feeling. So I'm a little sweaty right now, but I'm okay. I'm good. It's good to be with you.
I'm just, you know what? I'm just so glad you care about it so much. Just appreciate that's that. Why and the fact...
I wasn't around my phone. You guys are texting me, and I'm like, I'm not even by my phone. I'm running around rebooting every antenna in the house. I'm like, there's got to be Wi-Fi somewhere. I got to have Wi-Fi in or something somewhere around here.
Now you're a real radio professional, because until you experience a live technical issue like that, now you've made it. Now you're big time.
My God.
You know, I don't want to take shots at the guy whose seat, figuratively speaking, you're in. But hey, you solved the problem yourself. You didn't have to call Abby to do it for you, like certain people have to call Sarah to service his personal IT department.
Oh, so, snap.
Good work. Well done.
Got it done.
The guy's gone 8 minutes and you're taking shots at him already.
Is it taking a shot at him if it's the truth?
Yes. I'm not saying you're inaccurate in your assessment of it, but
Well, the truth hurts sometimes.
Give him one segment to be like, "Oh man, we miss Tausch a little bit." Nope.
We do. Hey, we do miss him, but we've got a really deep bench, and we're happy to have Brian today and some great cousin subs throughout the Tausch summer sabbatical. So, Brian, you know, we'll get to everything we saw yesterday. I am curious. You know, you are of a different era than Tausch is. You came along, your rookie year was 2010, then we had the lockout in 11 before camp started a little bit late. But everything changed with that CBA. And we've got the ramp-up period now. We've got the day off after three shorts, jerseys, and helmets practices. And then we finally have the first in-pads practice on Sunday. It's smarter, but Jesse was saying that he encountered some folks, you know, who were out and about at practice yesterday, and they said there wasn't a lot of juice. Is that just the reality of padded, unpadded practices?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's excitement from the guys being out there. Really, I mean, I think that's the general consensus. I mean, I'm sure you saw that on the sideline. Guys are excited to be out there. It's the first day. I think from a fan perspective, though, in the stands, you're not going to feel that as much from the stands, right? Like it's not going to be there. You're not going to feel that energy without the pads on. You know, you're just not, because you don't hear it. You don't kind of, the sounds aren't there. People feed off of that energy, right? Like, it's just like on game day when you hear pads cracking and helmets kind of, you know, the sounds helmets make when they collide. I mean, there's energy that brings, right? And when guys hear that as well, right? Like when there's a collision in practice, guys feed off that energy too. So like there's something to be said about that. So yeah, I totally understand where people are coming from with that, that are at practice these first few days. There's probably not as much energy as there will be in a couple days. We'll put it that way. That first day of pads, from what I always remember, was a very intense day. It was a very energetic, intense day. You never knew what you were going to get out of people. You always had to expect guys to play out of their normal selves, because they just, with the crowd being there, you know, guys competing for spots, first day of pads, guys played not like themselves, right? They played out of character at some, you know, points in time throughout practice. So you have to be prepared for that, right? And fans enjoy that, right? Like fans enjoy seeing that type of out of character type showmanship, so to speak, right? Like that's really what this is, right? This is show business at the end of the day. That's what, you know, that's why it's the number one rated program on TV year in and year out, no matter what you say. Beats Game of Thrones, no matter, or now it's called, you know, or whatever it's called. I don't know. I forgot what it's called now. But Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, but for the guys, right? I mean, I know I just said it. For the guys, I mean, it's day one, right? I mean, guys are excited to be there. And the break-in period is smart. I know they've increased it. When I was first there, I think we had like a two-a-day of shells, maybe two-a-days of shells.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were right into it. Then it was a two-a-day of pads, and we were rolling. I think, if I recall correctly. So it's they've gone smarter with it. There was no break in between before we put on pads. It was a put on pads and let's go.
Yeah, they do have that now, the built-in day off. But look, things are – it's better now to be a player than when you were, and it's definitely better now to be a player than when Tausch was in terms of the workload and in terms of the fancy-schmancy locker room. Like, when Tausch came along as a rookie, that was even before the stadium redevelopment happened. So they were in the old locker room with the metal wire like gated lockers and very stinky shoe containers and whatever else. And now they've got these, as Josh Jacobs called it, transformer lockers that they have these seats, leather seats that then they fold in and they reveal the contents of your locker. There's a fan to cool off your helmet and disinfect it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're struggling in there. They're roughing it. So we'll get into that. We'll also get into the new uniforms for the alternative uniforms. I can't wait to hear, and if you're watching on video, you saw a little facial expression from Brian, so you have a little bit of an idea of what he thinks of the new unis. We'll explore that. And a lot of stuff on the field and off the field yesterday. The offensive line, to me, there's a lot going on there, man. You got two guys competing for their jobs. I loved my conversation with Rashid Walker. You got Zach Tom going to buy a new car after still driving the car he had in college. So he's excited about that. And you've got Elgton Jenkins, who Goody says once his back problem is resolved, he's going to be out there practicing. And we've done right by Elgton, and he's done right by us. We'll have to discuss that as well, along with the way the Packers seem to be embracing, realistic or not, if you are a doubter, the Super Bowl expectations that have been placed upon them. We'll get to all that with Brian Bulaga in as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. After we hear from Tausch telling us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and door options from seven different Pella lines, all side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you can get zero interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. All right, Brian, we got a lot we want to get to, and then I got to get to practice, and we'll see what is going on down at Ray-Nitschke Field a little bit later. But we'll get to the offensive line. But first, I thought it was really interesting, the messaging yesterday. And you and Tausch have both talked about how when you hear players all saying similar things, it means that the coach's message got through loud and clear. And I loved something that LaFleur said about the locker room. And basically, look, that gives us zero wins. And the locker room may be sexy, which I thought of Tausch right away because for some reason he loves that word. But the work that you have to put in to succeed is not sexy. I thought, I like, not to be whatever, but I was proud of his messaging because that's how he approached it with his guys. But they talked a lot about work, but they did not shy away from the idea that they think that they are a Super Bowl team, whether they're right or not. And I know most of the other 31 teams think that way too on the first day of training camp. They were definitely embracing the idea, and it started, frankly, with Goody, who I had the first question bringing up the quote about urgency and being time to compete for championships. Then a few other people followed up, kind of got after us a little bit as if we blew that quote out of proportion. Coming from the general manager, I don't think we took it out of context or blew it out of proportion.
Not very nice.
You said it was time for them to start competing for championships. Here is what Brian Gutekunst said yesterday.
Yeah, I know you guys made a lot about that comment. And, you know, really what that was about was, I think, you know, we have a lot of young players that have played a lot of football and they're very experienced. But us old guys that have been in this league for a long time understand the opportunities that you have in this league are not, you know, you don't have a lot of them. And so the understanding of that, I think, takes a little time. And that's where I think the urgency thing for me is, you got to understand what's in front of us. We got a really good football team, the capability of being there. You got to take advantage of that.
So does it take a while to understand that about opportunities? Like, I always think of the story of Dan Marino, Brian, who, you know, went to the Super Bowl in what, his second year as a starter, maybe. I don't think it was his rookie year. I'll have to fact check that. But the bottom line is he always thought he'd get back to another Super Bowl, and he still tells the story to this day. He never did. So do guys not understand how precious opportunities are? Because I don't know. They certainly had an opportunity in San Francisco, and I don't think they blew it because they weren't realizing how valuable that opportunity was. And they just didn't play well offensively in Philly. I have a hard time believing they didn't understand what was at stake then either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they – I don't think that they, like, don't understand – you know, I don't think I look at it that way. I mean, I think that they – are a young team. I think that's for sure. And I think you look back to the San Francisco year where they were playing really well in that San Francisco game and, you know, kind of what happened late in that third quarter and into the fourth, and you can call it what you want. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, them thinking, oh, well, you know, or after the game, like, oh, well, we'll get back to another one or we'll get back here again. That's okay. Like, I don't think that was the case. I just think they were a young football team. And sometimes in moments when you don't have a certain level of experience at certain positions, I'm not talking about all of them, right? Like, I'm not saying you need a grizzled team to at every position to get over the hump. But, like, when you don't have certain positions that are filled with certain types of players, you know, you can fall off at times in games, and that's kind of what happened in that San Francisco game. So I kind of looked at where they were at and kind of, hey, they just lacked a little bit of knowledge in these games to get them over the hump. And I think as time has gone on now, that this team has gained that knowledge and they've gained that experience to now put them in a position this year to get over that hump or to go into those games with that confidence that they've been there now and they know how to maneuver those situations, so to speak. And the urgency part, I don't think anyone goes into like seasons and goes like, ah, well, we'll always have next year. Like I never went into it that way, right? Like I never thought of it that way. Like I never looked at things that way. I think if you truly look at things that way, the Green Bay Packers aren't for you. Like, they just aren't. Like, that team, that being part of this organization is not for you, because the goal of it is to try to win the Super Bowl every single year. And I, regardless of whether you think Goody or whether you think Ted or, you know, Ron Wolf before that, regardless if you think if they built a roster that you think could compete for a Super Bowl or not, a lot of the guys that were in that locker room at the time and were in, you know, within that roster thought that the roster was good enough, right? Like, and we did believe that. And we thought every time we took the field, we could win. I had mentioned the times before what years I thought that things didn't feel necessarily right. And that was really 2018. That was the one year where it just felt off to me. But besides that, every single year I felt we can go do this. So like the thought of next year was never a thought. So I don't know. I think Goody's kind of working backwards on that one. I think I knew exactly what he was saying in his original quote about the urgency. Like it is a win now type mentality. And like, I'm with him on that. Like I totally understand where he's coming from, because that should be every player's mentality in that locker room. Is like, the thought is to win right now. Like that is Green Bay Packer mentality. It's to win now. When you have a quarterback, as what we all think Jordan Love could be and should be, is a top tier quarterback. The thought is to win now. When you have a defense, like we saw towards the end of last year, that is a top 10 defense. The thought is to win now. And that is, to me, the way this team should be thinking going into this year. And that kind of leads into what you were talking about, the messaging of what they're all saying in the locker room about Super Bowl talk, right? Like, and I didn't hear every single quote that these guys are saying. I mean, you heard a lot more of it. But that seems to be the messaging, right? Like, I mean, you heard it a lot more than I did, but they seem to be talking about that quite a bit.
Yeah, and Matt LaFleur did it too, and he sounded very similar to Goody, so they are all kind of on the same page. Here's how Matt LaFleur, when we weren't being interrupted by alarms about some sort of police situation in Ledgeview, and when he wasn't getting after me for sneaking in an extra question, here's what Matt LaFleur had to say about the expectations.
Yeah, I think we're capable of doing some really good things, but we got to be willing to do the work. And that was pretty much the message to the team. Are you willing to do all the little things that it takes? Because it takes a lot to get even to that point, to reach the postseason. It takes a lot to. I mean, we got a really tough division. We got a really tough schedule, and that's the National Football League. So, but you got to do all the little things. And then, you know, you always got to have a little luck on your side in terms of staying healthy throughout the course of the season.
Work, 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 work. I guess my question is, when you have a veteran team and you played on some really veteran teams, that doesn't feel like something you have to preach. Whereas young players, even ones that have more experience now as they're going into year three or year four, is this the byproduct of coaching and building a team that is, as two guys that have had their 30th birthday and they're both specialists, that you do have to kind of grind into these guys? It's about the work. It's about the work. Can't think about the Super Bowl in February. You got to think about doing the job today well enough so you take a small step forward so you can take another one tomorrow. So then eventually we're playing for a Super Bowl title.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he talked about, you know, it's the work, but then it kind of even narrows it down a little bit more about the little things. And the little things are, you know, you can go through what the little things are, but it could be as simple as look like going back and watching individual tape of what you did during individual drills that transferred over to, you know, group sessions of, you know, Packers versus Packers, and then going back and watching, you know, team tape and kind of what you're doing on, you know, going through each individual rep and team and seeing, you know, watching one little thing that you want to improve on every day and breaking that down and seeing, did you improve on that? And if you didn't improve on that, go back to the practice, you know, next day of practice, let's try to work on that again and see if we can improve that. If we improve that, let's move on to something the next day and let's try to touch on that. And trying to continue to work on one little thing every day so that by the time we get to the season, we have refreshed on almost everything so that we feel really good by the time we kick off. At least that's the way I always approach things in camp. Because if you just try to knock out everything all in one practice, you are going to fall flat on your face. Like, you're just going to. So, like, I guess as a way of, from a veteranish standpoint, that's how I approached camp, was like one step at a time, one little detail at a time. So by the time we get to week one, I feel good about it. And if you have a more veteran team, guys are used to going through a process that you don't really have to refresh them on that, right? You don't have to continue to harp on them about those little things. When guys are a little bit younger, when I was younger, you know, Campy, and he had to remind me of these things, right? Like, he had to remind me constantly of, like, hey, we got to work on, you know, your first three kicks. You got to, hey, and it was constant reminders in my first 3 years of what I needed to continue to work on. And then by the time, you know, in year four, five, six, it was kind of just, I had already ingrained that in my head, like, all right, this is what I got to focus on the first couple weeks of camp. And I would just, it was natural for me. So like, that's where LaFleur is right now with this team and trying to get them to just naturally build those habits up themselves. And like, it takes time, right? Like for these guys, and there are some guys that are further along in the process, right? Like Kenny's there and Elton's there. And obviously Elton's not participating, but like Kenny's there and Jacobs is there and McKinney's there. I mean, they're not 8, 9, 10 year guys, but they've been playing a lot of snaps, right? They've played a lot of football right in this league. They've done, you know, they've played a lot. So like they understand their process and obviously they've done it at a really high level. So they understand things, but there's other guys that there's a lot of expectations to perform that, you know, they need to find their way on it. And he's just simply reminding them of that process. So like there's a little byproduct of that, I would think. But at the same time, I think he sees a lot in the group. And I think a lot of people see a lot in the group. And you can't, like you said, you can't get to a Super Bowl right now, right? Like you cannot win a Super Bowl right now. You can't lose a Super Bowl right now either, right? Like I'm not saying that either. Like it's not like week three where you can't get to the playoffs, but you could certainly lose the playoffs right now or not make the playoffs right now. But you could certainly right now in training camp hamper the, I would say, the continuity of a team if guys aren't progressing together, right? If they're not making strides together with how they're gelling as a unit, if that makes sense. Like if guys aren't progressing together with how they're kicking rust off and how units aren't meshing, yeah, that slows progress. So like, I mean, I'll stay in my lane with it. If say the right side of the offensive line is just really ticking along, right? They're looking good. They're communicating well. Everything's going really smoothly. But for some reason, the left side of the line is just blown assignments. They can't get it right. The offense is going to look terrible because, like, things are just off whack. They can't run the ball to the left. They can't pass protect. Like, nothing's going to get off the ground. Like, it doesn't look good. Like you're watching tape. Like, the defensive line's getting – like, everything looks off. So, like – you need people to progress at the same level so that everything looks the way you want it to. So that's what he's kind of trying to preach to the team, that like everyone needs to put in the same amount of work and detail so that this thing, you know, looks the way we want it to and we're progressing the way we want it to. So by week one, we're humming.
We'll get into where the offensive line is. Brian mentioned, yeah, they have Elton Jenkins. He's here. He's got a back thing, as Brian Gutekunst put it. But hey, very confident that once the back thing resolves itself, he's going to be out there on the field. I did not get the vibe that things are going to go the way Elton wants them to right away, and that there'll be guaranteed money coming into his contract. So we'll talk about that. And Rashid Walker competing to keep his starting job at left tackle, although the challenge didn't really start yesterday because without Elton, Sean Ryan was playing some center, which meant Jordan Morgan was playing some right guard. So a lot going on the offensive line, and that's not even including the guy they signed in free agency, who was the one guy who wasn't in the news yesterday. We'll talk about all that coming up. Speaking of news, you see news all the time about people that have been injured in accidents, and you just hope that they're going to be okay, one, but two, that they're taken care of. And that's what Gruber Law Offices is here to do, to make sure that you get what you deserve if you've been injured in an accident. Make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. Coming up next. Stick around.
We're on the Badgers.
All of these folks that put these projections into the world, I don't think they have them winning six games.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
Let this team prove that these projections are bunk.
This is 100.5 ESPN.
get into the offensive line. We happen to have a guy who has, I guess, a little bit of expertise in that department. That's, of course, me. No, it's not that guy on the video screen, although he's got a lot of expertise, too. It's, of course, Brian Blogger, our cousin son of the day. Brian, so Elton was a key part of the conversation yesterday. Not Elton conversing with us, because he was not in the new fancy-schmancy hoity-toity locker room when we were. He's on the non-football injury list, so he avoided us. But Goody got several questions, and one of them from me, you know, I had talked, Jesse, I had talked with you and Tausch about this leading into it. Like, I didn't know how to frame it, so I kind of went, you know, I understand that we don't talk about contracts around here, but you don't have your starting center. You know, how is this going to be resolved? And to my surprise, his answer, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show, was more expansive than I was expecting. Basically acknowledging that there is an issue there and how there's lots of guys in the league who aren't happy with their contracts. Okay, well, we're not worried about lots of guys in the league. We're worried about this guy in the league, and he's your center. But I want to get to, before that, and we'll circle back to that later, I want to get to, what is this hurting? He's got a back issue, apparently. I'm not questioning the veracity of his injury, because I haven't talked to Elton about it, and I would never do that. There are reasons to wonder how severe it might be, given the circumstances. I think that's a fair thing to say. But the real question is, at what point do we start to get worried that he needs the work because he's moving to a new position that, while he played it in college and has played it sporadically in the NFL, he hasn't played it with this group of five right now? Here is how Brian Gutekunst views the importance of getting Elton Jenkins out there practicing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, as much as we can. At the same time, I mean, Elton's played that position before for us. I think it's very natural to him. Again, he's very gifted there, so you know, we like him out there as much as possible, but at the same time, he's had to go in there in, you know, very short amount of time, and he's excelled. So but yeah, I mean, all our players, we'd like him out there as much as possible.
All right, Brian, help me understand this. We'll set the uncertainty of when he's going to be cleared and how he feels about his contract and all that other stuff. We'll set that aside. Just from a purely football perspective, new center, quarterback, new guard, lots of moving parts on the offensive line. How soon does Elton need to be out there to be really, truly ready for September 7th?
I got asked this yesterday by Jesse and Tausch, and I would hope that he's back by probably after family night would be my, like, I would hope, you know, would, like, by the time they start joint practices, that would be when I would hope that he's back with the group. Because I think you look at what kind of starts happening when the joint sessions start to come about, is they start to settle on that group, right? Like, they start to get what five they want out there. Obviously, when Elton is back, right? Not like his back, so no pun intended. But like when he's actually like ready to be with the group, he's going to be one of the starting five. So like that's no question. So when he's back with the other four, they will have, at that time, the whole group figured out, or at least close to who they want the starting five guys to be. And that's when you want him to be taking reps with these guys, right? And figuring out, you know, how each other, you know, works together, and how, you know, Elton likes to combo block with each guard, and how Elton communicates, and how he's making IDs. And for Jordan at quarterback, like, simple quarterback center exchanges, like, and when Elton's reaching a shade, like, when he's snapping and reaching, like, how does the ball come out, and when he's stepping, how fast does Jordan need to get out of the, like, just simple things like that, that not many people think about, but it happens. Like, right, those are things that quarterbacks and centers, you know, that's what center quarterback exchanges for happen before practice or in their little period that they're working on, that those reps simply aren't happening right now, right? And then they get into the team periods and those reps happen too. And then they watch them on tape, and if it doesn't go well, well, they need to work on it. So I would say by the time they're competing against another team in a joint session, you would want Elton with the group. Is it going to happen? I don't know, because it doesn't again, I don't know the severity of the back injury. I don't know whether, you know, I have no idea. I'm not going to sit here and speculate on it. I have no idea. It's really none of my business. All I know is there is a contract dispute, and it's not a contract dispute based on wanting extended years or more money, right? That's not the contract dispute. The contract dispute is essentially about wanting money within the current contract to be guaranteed. So that's not wanting more money. That's just guaranteeing money that's already within the contract. So that's really the contract dispute that we're talking about. So I think until that gets figured out, this is going to go on. And that's detrimental to this group. I truly believe that. So we can talk about how quick he'll be back or whatever. That's all fun, right? Like that's fine. But I don't know how quick Elton will be back. I don't know, because I just don't. If he's already made it, and again, I don't know what is going on with his back. I have no idea. I have not spoken to him. I'm putting that out there, and that's a God honest truth. I have no idea what's going on with his back. But if he's already made it this far, not participating, why would he rush back to just participate without having this contract issue settled? And that's just my take on it. Like, there's no need, at least in my opinion.
So you've got Elton, who, whatever severity of the back injury is, he's dealing with that. And then you got Rashid Walker, who I thought handled himself great yesterday, considering the circumstances. Jesse's got a clip of an exchange I had with him, which I personally enjoyed, and I think Shido, apparently, as they call him, enjoyed too. We'll hear that coming up, and I'll get Brian's reaction to that. Matt LaFleur is at the podium right now. I don't think I got to this yesterday on our various shows, but he was just asked about Nathaniel Hackett coming back and helping out on the coaching staff, working with the defense, examining opposing offenses, kind of like Robert Saleh did, working with the offense, looking at opposing defenses through his eye. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. But got to remind you first that if you're looking for your best night's sleep, Steinhoffel's has you covered with Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Tempur-Pedic's advanced pressure relieving technology helps make those everyday aches and pains a thing of the past. Right now, queen hybrid models start at just $52 a month with Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. And when you buy, you'll get $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. Want to level up your comfort? Add an anti-snore adjustable base and sleep even better. Steinhoffel's, your mattress destination. So shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Brewers.
2025 wants to be in the discussion as one of the greatest Brewers teams of all time.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
It's going to come down to what they do in October.
This is Madison's new home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball. 100.5 ESPN.
All right, Brian, you and I both know I have no business being an NFL player. for a myriad of reasons. Although, you know, with where my weight's at, I'm getting kind of close to that part of the job. Thank you. I don't think it's unreasonable in whatever job you have, offensive lineman, working at Harnish Frager or Alice Chalmers, as my grandparents used to say in Milwaukee. You just want to feel like you're respected and appreciated. And yeah, the NFL is all about competition, but at the same time, when you pay some dues, you just want them to be respected. Is that fair? Like, I'm not saying you don't have to compete. I'm not saying that. But you would like also that what you've done for a team means something. Is that a fair way to view it?
Yeah, I think so. When you put some pelts on the wall, you want it to be, you know, shown with some respect, I think. I mean, that's normally the way it goes. And I think I know where you're going with it, right? When you have starts, there's something to be said about that. There's something to be said.
So we did talk to Rashid yesterday, and like I said, coming into the segment, I respected the way he handled it. I really did. I thought he handled it great. Because he knew the questions were coming. The easiest thing in the world would have been to just not come in there. Right? Then you don't have to answer the questions. And he did. Mm-hmm. And so, but during our conversation, somebody had asked him about, you know, how does this make you feel, or how do you view this? And I thought it was really interesting that basically what he said was, what am I supposed to say? What do you want me to say? Well, I had a few suggestions for him on what he could say. Here is that exchange yesterday.
Rashid, what was your reaction, though? You know, when the front office says after the season, you probably have to battle again for that left tackle job.
I mean, shoot, what can I say? What can I say? That's my big man. What can I say?
Well, Rashid, I would say this, and people around here know how soft I am. So I'd be sad and upset. I'd be like, hey, man, I started 35 games here and played pretty damn well, and I saved your asses when David Bakhtiari got hurt after one game. I feel pretty good about what I put on tape. That's how I would have reacted. How do you channel that more healthily than I would?
I mean, my thing is, we all know that's true, but, you know, they don't make band-aids for feelings. So it's all about, you know, I'm on a four-year contract. So it's my last year of the contract. So, I mean, just do my best. Like, so, you know, I'm just blessed to even be able to still be able to play the game. You know, I've been through a lot of adversity in my career, so just to even still be able to, you know, lace up my cleats, be playing in the NFL is every kid's dream, is my dream. So I'm just happy, you know, to have a role on the team and just be able to, you know, add on.
You said that the competition is within yourself, and that's the healthiest way to look at it. But as Dave pointed out, it's not like you haven't been over this ground before. Does that help you, though, just to know what you're dealing with?
I mean, yeah, like, my thing is, I just always handle things the same way, and that's just showing up every day ready to work and just trying to be better and just not worrying about the outside things, just control what I can control.
Brian, how do you grade, being the now media guy that you are, but the player you have been, how do you grade how she'd handle that conversation? And how I'd be handling the competition and the disrespect I'd be feeling personally.
I think he did a good job with that. I mean, I think he knew that was coming. Whether he didn't answer those questions yesterday, they were coming today. If he didn't answer them today, they were coming tomorrow. Regardless of when he answered them, they were coming one way or another, right? So I think he did a good job handling them. And he kind of said at the end, he's gone through this, right? So, and his process has been really good of how he's handled it from the start, right? I mean, put your head down, work, and just try to get better every day. And getting better every day isn't like, you know, it's not like becoming an all-pro player every single day, because, like, that's impossible. Like, you don't become an all-pro player one day after the next. Like, that's not what he means by that. It's improving on something every single day and making, you know, steps forward and not taking steps back, right? And in a competition, right, it's not giving ground, right? Like it's not creating space for, you know, say now Jordan Morgan to gain on him, right? Like it's not opening the door. And that's really what in this competition, even though now Jordan Morgan's taking guards at or reps at right guard, which makes this whole thing even more wild. I have no idea what to even think of that now. If he's able to separate and continue to, you know, create space between the two, then we may see this thing again be called like it was last year before, you know, you get to family night. And that, again, is obviously advantageous to him, but he has the right mindset of just get better at something every single day and continue to just gain ground on the competition. And if he's able to do that, he'll be in line to again start another, 18, 19 games or whatever, how far they make it in the postseason again. And that's the best thing for him, right? And he's got the right mindset. He's got the right mentality. He's been through this, so he understands the nature of it. The NFL's it's a tough gig, right? It's a tough gig if you're on the last year of a deal, you're not a high round draft pick. You understand that they just gave a massive contract to the right tackle. They just gave a massive contract to the left guard. There's a very good chance that they're not going to give a big contract to the left tackle. Like it's a very, it's a tough mindset to be in because you play the numbers in your head and you understand there's only so much money to go around. So you just have to get in your own space and know you have to perform. Yes, for the team, you have to perform for the team. You're on the 2025 rendition of the Green Bay Packers and you guys are trying to achieve something special. But on the flip side of that, you are trying to perform for yourself and what you can do for yourself in the market coming up. That's what, at the end of the day as well, you are trying to perform for that because you know the numbers don't number with the Green Bay Packers coming up in free agency. Like, you just know it, right? And there's no way around it. Like, we can all try to sugarcoat it, but that's just the way it goes, right? So he's on that. He's trying to balance that the best he can, and it sounds like he's doing it. And, you know, obviously I wish him the best. I mean, I got to talk to him last year on that tailgate tour. I think he's a great guy. He's got his head on his shoulders correctly, and it sounds like he's ready to give his best in this competition, even though, like I mentioned, it doesn't sound like it's starting off as a competition because of where Jordan Morgan is taking reps currently. So fun, really fun. Really fun competition.
We'll have some fun next. We'll talk about the release of the Packers throwback uniforms. I know there are some opinions on the panel. I want to get Jesse's, and I obviously want to get Brian's as well. We'll do that when we kick off the 10 o'clock hour, and then Jesse and Brian will handle trivia so I can head down to practice. But most importantly, I want to remind you that ever since these uniforms were the uniform back in 1923, Associated Bank's been part of the Packers. They were there at the beginning. They were there at the beginning for us as our show began 9 years ago, coming up on that anniversary. And they're there for you as the best bank when it comes to customer service. They've got the awards to prove it. So go to associatedbank.com to find out more about early pay, about credit monitoring, about fraud protection, about Packers, Badgers, and Brewers checking. Everything you could possibly want in a bank and more. Associatedbank.com. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.